Hello, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to Weird Mythic Podcast. I've had some technical difficulties the last 15 minutes, and I'm not sure if it is the program that I am using or the output on my computer or just headphones in general, but this seems to be working fine. Unable to see the sound waves when I was recording, and it was just very strange. I just don't know if it's the output or my headphones, but I tried another pair of headphones and it seemed to do the same thing. And I don't have my other microphone to test that. So I'm actually using whatever is on the laptop itself. So I hope the quality isn't too bad. If it works, it works, which is great, but I'll find that out once I edit. So bear with me. Well, this is my 81st episode, and I love everybody who continues to listen and support. Thank you so much for listening to all 81 episodes. You know, I love doing this. It's a way for me to be somewhat creative, and I get to entertain people. And thank you guys for continuing to listen. I have been completely absent for, like, I'm gonna say, like, 3 weeks now, maybe four, but life gets busy. And then I went on a trip for a few days and then I got sick after that. And I really don't want to do a whole lot of research after being sick and then gone for a while. But the trip was great. I went to Fort Bragg with my very good friend Christina, and we just, raised as much hell as we could without getting into trouble. And I think we hiked a good 20 miles in like 2.5 days, maybe. Like in total, it was a great time. I did try to go into the gray whale. Go to what episode was that I did the gray whale haunting? Let me find that out. Which episode was that? There it is. Shout out to episode 63, which was the hauntings at Gray Whale. Go check out that episode. I will put it in my show notes in case you haven't listened to the episode, but it is a interesting place in the small town of Fort Bragg, California. And I did try to get into it, but the owners never let me. So, but it was a great time. I am happy to be back and recording. Before we get into the episode, let me go ahead and show some support and thank you for your continued support to my friends at Let's Talk Turkeys podcast. I have their link in the show notes. Please go listen and support them. And here they are.
Hello, everyone out there in podcast land. I'm Movie Miss, one of the co-hosts of the great podcast about bad movies called Let's Talk Turkeys, where you'll find our format is a bit different than the other talking head programs you're used to. I'm a Gen Xer. My co-host is a millennial. So we're usually on the same page, but we do occasionally agree to disagree, and we always have a good laugh. Join us as we cover the good, the bad, and the ugly of cinema. You can find us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you find quality podcasts.
All right. So, this episode, Weird Mythic Fam, is my fourth episode on the Dragon series. I am covering the main serpent in Central and South America. This might be a part two series because I didn't spend as much time as I wanted to going into other dragons in Central and South America. So I'm going to definitely look for more. And I did find one that I didn't put into this episode. I am covering the legend of Quetzalcoatl, the feathered serpent. Quetzalcoatl was a creator god to the Aztecs, the Mayans, and even old Olmec paintings actually showed feather serpents. So this is a very old god and type of dragon. The earliest known depictions of what I believe to be Quetzalcoatl, it's a painting of a rattlesnake with feathers, and that was from one of the Olmec paintings. And again, they are like one of the oldest civilizations, so I actually need to do a whole episode on them. The Mayan civilization had a different name for Quetzalcoatl. They named him Kukulcan, the plumed serpent, and Kukulcan is the god of wind and rain, and the mediator between the sky and the underworld. He was also known to be a symbol of rebirth. Kukulkan is depicted as a bird and snake hybrid with blue-green tail feathers and a bright red chest. He was very sacred to the Mayan culture. Now, the earliest known mention of Quetzalcoatl was in the 3rd century CE. He was known as the feathered serpent and was an earth and water god. Now, there are rumors that he was a god that the Aztecs made like sacrifices to, and he was associated with war. But I don't believe that, and I'll explain that later. The Aztecs do believe that Quetzalcoatl was the protector of priests and craftsmen, however, that the feathered serpent invented books and the calendar. Quetzalcoatl is also associated with the planet Venus and is a symbol of death and resurrection. Some of the more important things, though, about Quetzalcoatl was that he brought rain and agriculture to the Aztecs. The Aztecs, just like the Mayans, believed that Quetzalcoatl was the connection between earth and sky. So we do have both of those things going on in both cultures. For the Aztecs, Quetzalcoatl was considered to be the creator of humans. The utmost important thing that Quetzalcoatl brought to the Aztecs was maize, so corn. The Aztecs ended up building a pyramid for Quetzalcoatl. It is a 5-step pyramid that was built around 10 CE, so extremely old. You will see this pyramid at the Aztec capital, which is now Tula, Mexico. Many early depictions of Quetzalcoatl, the god had the snake and then just lots of like feathers around it. But other depictions of the feathered serpent, he is usually holding a conch shell, which is a symbol for wind. Later on, Quetzalcoatl was shown wearing a hat with a conch shell and shell jewelry. He also had like this red-billed mask that he had, like usually on his face or just around him. Quetzalcoatl is depicted with a serpent body, wings, lots and lots of feathers, usually blue, green, and purple. He also has scales. I didn't see any depictions of him that he had like limbs. It was just like wings and lots of feathers and still a serpent body, but no limbs. Now, let's go ahead and get into like the legend of our feathered serpent. Quetzalcoatl is the third son of the creator god Omeccotl. He has two older brothers, Sipe Totec and Tezcatlipoca. I obviously didn't practice those names, but yes, he is the third son. He also has one younger brother, and bear with me, it is Huitzilopochtli. His mom was the goddess Kim'alma. Quetzalcoatl is the god who created humanity, and as I said, he helped humanity grow crops by giving them maize and corn. Now, how did he do this? Well, first off, Quetzalcoatl needed bones to make humans, and the only place that he could get these bones was in the underworld. He had to meet with the Lord and Lady of the Underworld. And the Lord of Lady did not want to give up the bones, but Quetzalcoatl was able to just pretty much trick them, at least for a moment. Once he convinced the Lord and Lady of the Underworld to give him the bones, Quetzalcoatl made it seem like, I really actually don't want these, but thank you so much for actually giving them to me, but never mind. However, he did take the bones, and then as he was starting to leave the Underworld, the Lord and Lady was still a little bit confused. And then once they kind of realized that Quetzalcoatl like kind of played them for a fool for whatever freaking reason, they opened up this giant hole in the ground and Quetzalcoatl fell along with all the bones that he was carrying with him. As he fell into the hole, Quetzalcoatl was knocked unconscious. The Lord and Lady of the Underworld then buried Quetzalcoatl with the bones where he was trapped. Not sure exactly how long he was trapped for, but it was a very long time because he did multiple escape attempts and was only successful, obviously, one time, but it took him much more than one time to escape. Now, how was he able to actually escape? He took his blood, mixed it with the maize into the bones that were buried on him. He was then able to like crawl out of the hole with the humans that he had created while he was buried and, you know, escape the underworld. So my little interpretation of this story was that humans escaped with Quetzalcoatl from the underworld. One reason why he is kind of the middle man between us and their afterlife. Quetzalcoatl and his family had also created the universe, like as a family, got together and did it. However, they did have to wait for the younger brother to be born so that they could finish the process of creating the cosmos, the universe, the Milky Way. Quetzalcoatl ended up having a rivalry with one of his older brothers. And really, the only thing that I could figure out what the rivalry was being the creator of humans and the one for like being worshipped more. But it seemed like Quetzalcoatl and his brother Tezcatlipoca, who he had the rivalry with, were both, you know, worshipped by the Aztecs and by the Mayans. But I think there was just a rivalry. They just butted heads. As I had mentioned, the biggest thing that Quetzalcoatl had brought to the Aztecs was maize. Other Aztec gods had tried getting maize and bring it to mankind, but none of them were successful. Other gods would use their like physical strength to move the maize, but it just somehow never worked. So Quetzalcoatl, on the other hand, had a different plan. He turned himself into a little ant and then followed a colony of ants to the maze, which was like far away and on this big mountain. Quetzalcoatl was able to pick up one single kernel of corn and brought it back to the Aztec people. And then he showed them exactly how to plant and grow and cultivate the agriculture with the maize. Another story about how Quetzalcoatl brought maize to the Aztecs was that there was this great mountain that had all these seeds just scattered on it. And Quetzalcoatl just couldn't move the mountain himself. So he actually asked for help from another god whose name was Nanaquatsuin. Nanaquatsuin then destroyed the mountain with lightning. Quetzalcoatl then asked the god of rain, Tlaloc, to scatter the seeds. This then created the maze. So even in this story, even though like Quetzalcoatl kind of like directed everything, he definitely had help. I kept reading that Quetzalcoatl was to like rule over the Aztecs and that they had been waiting on him to return. Now it's a big story about how like Quetzalcoatl was ruling the Aztecs at a certain time. And then he left and he left in the ocean and was heading east. So that's the legend of how they're like waiting for him to come back. Now, when the Spanish conquistador, when the Spanish conquistadors arrived to Central America, there was like rumors, I guess, that Quetzalcoatl was coming back. Now, in 1519, the Aztecs did bring and welcome the Spanish with food and clothing. Although they did welcome the Spanish, it was only the Spanish who reported that the Aztecs believed that they were gods, or that even Cortez himself was Quetzalcoatl. It was never written down by the Aztecs that they believed these conquistadors were their gods coming back. I think that it was totally made up by the Spanish and like reporting that back to Spain. If the Aztecs really believed that their god had returned as Hernan Cortez, the Aztecs would have recorded that in some way. After the conquistadors even arrived, and although at first they were welcomed, they had quickly overstayed that welcome. And we all know the history of they had the battles, they had wars against each other. And unfortunately, due to war and famine and disease, It wiped out all the Aztecs. And so we do just kind of have some of these rumors that they believed that the conquistadors were gods. I definitely believe that those would be rumors at this point. So that is my short little episode on Quetzalcoatl. I am definitely going to have to do a second episode for Central and South America on dragons, just because why the hell not? I'm not sure what my next episode is going to be right now, but I think I need to just like get back into it and do a cryptid. So if anybody has any like suggestions or stories, you can always send them my way to weirdmythicpodcast@gmail.com. I would still love anyone to let me know of a paranormal story or encounter with a cryptid. And I would love to talk to anybody. If you want to be on the show, you just gotta let me know. I am gonna have a guest later this month, and I am gonna be joining on Tattoo Squid's podcast this month also. So I will be posting those. Don't forget to check out Let's Talk Turkeys. I have their show. Or their show like links in the show notes. And don't forget to go to all my social medias and send me all your thoughts and your feedback to Weird Mythic Podcast on Twitter, Weird Mythic Podcast on Instagram, Weird Mythic Podcast on YouTube, Weird Mythic on TikTok. And again, my email address is weirdmythicpodcast@gmail.com. Bye.